Welcome to Despite Popular Belief, where we discuss actual biblical worldview in a culture full of opinions and agenda. I'm Eric.
And I'm Steven.
And today we're going to be discussing the topic of self-love.
No!
Yes. Good things. So.
What's up, man?
Eric, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
We've got an out of control discussion ahead of us. Self-love.
Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory.
I see what you did there.
Today we're going to be talking about the topic of self-love and try to sort of define how the American culture defines that and the importance of loving ourselves, and then kind of bounce that off of the biblical standard of love,
whether exactly
loving yourself is in fact biblical or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure anybody who uses social media can see this word floating around. I mean, you'll see it on Selfie Sunday, self-love.
Memes. It's on a lot of memes.
It's on everything. It's everywhere. So everybody's at least heard of it that uses the computer or their phone or whatever.
Exactly. Like, I think the most common phrase I hear that we always kind of joke about is, I can't love you until I learn to love myself.
That's so deep and it's unsourced.
Yeah.
That's
So I guess with me personally, I've really never been able to wrap my head around that. I mean, I'm sure different people define it in different ways. But to me, loving yourself is selfish, caring too much about yourself. Obviously, that wouldn't mean neglecting yourself, your health, taking care of yourself. And certainly, you know, there's people who inflict harm on themselves, and whether it be mental illness or depression or whatever may cause it, obviously we wouldn't advocate for anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like heroic or honorable qualities tend to be self-sacrifice,
right?
Putting people before yourself, mm-hmm. Putting God before yourself, obviously from a biblical standpoint, doing some research on the culture, or at least what I would think the culture defines self-love as, would be, I mean, it seems to be putting yourself first.
Yeah, it seems to be some sort of solution. That's my observation. People feel like their destructive tendencies or bad relationships or anxiety or you name it, it seems like the self-love comes into play when they think this is the fix. It must be because I don't love myself. I know most people will probably start out typing something into Google when they're, you know, trying to search a topic.
Yeah.
I just started to type the word self and then the letter L,
mm-hmm.
In Google, and the top results were self-love quotes. Self-love definition, that one's pretty given. Self-love activities.
Hmm.
And self-love deficit disorder. And there were several other ones there, but those are like the top search results in Google right now when you just start to type the word self and then...
Self-love deficit disorder?
Yeah. So I'd never heard of it before, and clicked on that one because I'm like, you know, mm-hmm. let's take a look at this. Apparently, Dr. Ross Rosenberg has this book called The Human Magnet Syndrome, The Codependent Narcissist Trap. And he says that self-love deficit disorder is formerly known as codependency. That's his simple definition of self-love. So according to this doctor, codependency is now classified as and solely self-love.
Huh.
So I thought that was interesting. I learned something new.
Yeah.
As you'll see from, you know, examples we're going to give, I don't agree with him.
Yeah. So I have a couple clips here. The first one I want to play for you guys is a woman. I think I'm pronouncing this right. It's Abby Stumvel. On YouTube, it's titled Learning to Love Yourself. She is with Bethel Church. They're a mega church in California. I don't know if she's a self-proclaimed pastor or not, or what her position is at the church, but we're going to play a small clip for you. In this video, she's sort of talking about self-image and your and how you feel about your own body. And then she kind of goes into a woman who she saw this like perfect woman, and this woman didn't like herself. And so she felt like, man, if this woman doesn't love herself, then how can I? Because she's so perfect. So I'm going to play this clip for you.
Always being upset and frustrated about who she wasn't. And I thought to myself, oh gosh, if this woman who has everything doesn't like herself, we're all screwed. There's no hope for any of us. And so I prayed this prayer. I just said, God, if you could teach me how to love myself, I'll change the world. Because no one's doing it. I don't have to have a gift. I don't have to have a talent. I don't have to be great at anything, because if I love myself, I will stand out like a sore thumb anywhere I go. And people will be like, what is that? I want to do that too. I was like, I don't even have to learn how to be an evangelist. If I love myself, people will want to know what is different about me. And so I prayed this prayer. I was like, God, if you could do it, if you could show me how to love myself, I'll change the world. And that prayer changed my life.
Okay. Oh my goodness. She said that she would stand out like a sore thumb if God answers this prayer.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, no, that self-love stuff is so ubiquitous that, no, she will blend in like everybody else who has this issue with the self-absorption.
Right. Yeah, to say, I won't even have to evangelize if you just teach me to love myself. Because people will see this light in her.
What?
But
and I mean, change the world?
From loving yourself. And, like, and what other aspect of life? I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard somebody tell me a story about a person they looked up to. And, oh, you got to meet this guy. He's just so awesome. He loves himself so much. He's just so good at loving himself. No one ever talks like that.
Well, nobody wants to meet that guy.
Right. The self-absorbed.
Yeah. Nobody wants to meet that guy.
Right.
I'm thinking, you know, to me, I'm thinking you're describing somebody who's arrogant or a narcissist.
Right.
Undesirable qualities.
Yeah. And again, you know, we're going to come back to it later. People often think scriptures that end in as yourself, because there's several of them throughout the scriptures, Leviticus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So we're going to come back to that later and read some scriptures. But here I have yet another clip I want to play for you guys. This one's going to be by Stephen.
Is it Furtick?
Furtick. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So you've heard of him before?
I've heard of him.
Okay. So this is going to be from, this is titled Waking Faith, Learning to Love Yourself by Stephen Furtick.
He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I've always known that that was a command, but it's also just an observation. That the way you love your neighbor is the way you love yourself. If you haven't received God's acceptance of you, you won't be able to accept anybody else as they are, because you don't even love yourself. And so a lot of times it starts there. It starts with saying, God, I can't go into these relationships anymore half empty and needing people. Sometimes I'm so needy. I was asking God the other day to help me not be so hard on others. And God said, well, first you're going to have to not be so hard on you.
Okay, you have to admit, at least this guy used scripture.
Yeah.
then you see how he used it.
Right. So again, he uses love your neighbor as you love yourself. This whole concept of that, because the Bible teaches us that God loves us, it's almost like there's this movement that teaches that God loves us because of how awesome we are. Mm. And that is not the case.
Right.
The reason it's so amazing that God loves us is because we don't deserve it at all. So it's
the
not,
gift of grace.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, it's not to beat people down. The gospel is good news. It should make you happy
exactly.
and vibrant because you don't deserve this love and God is giving it to us anyway. So this whole idea that, you know, stop being so hard on yourself or, you know, God doesn't want you to be that hard on yourself. You know, you're amazing. You're this awesome person. So, did you want to go into some scripture or?
Well, that actually just made me think of, I know that after we've, you know, looked at some more examples here, we're going to kind of visit the scriptures, what it's actually saying, but what you were just talking about reminded me of Psalm 139 verse 14, where David says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So I don't want people to misunderstand us criticizing this self-love thing because, I mean, David is praising God because he created us fearfully and wonderfully. The direction, it's directed at God.
Right.
Like, look how awesome God is. So it's not about you taking some more steps for you.
Right. Even when David is talking about himself and his body that God created, it's all focused on God's glory and God's creation.
Right.
It's not, I'm so awesome.
Right. But here, you got this article here you were talking about that was, I don't know if interesting is the right word.
So this is an article from the website is metro.co.uk or Metro Lifestyle. The headline is, what's it like being autosexual when you're attracted to yourself? So I haven't heard of that before. I've heard of vanity, but I guess this is sort of taking it to a whole nother level. So I'm just going to read a bit of this article here. Sexuality is fluid. As with a lot of things, it can evolve and boomerang over time. Though so often thought about in binary terms, just as with gender, there are many different sexualities people identify as. Autosexuality is one such identification that is seldom talked about. That's true, I've never heard of it. It's the idea of being sexually attracted to yourself, and can also come with being auto-romantic. Experiencing the relationship with yourself as romantic. It can mean being turned on by your own look and nudity, getting butterflies when you think about yourself, being excited to spend time alone. I agree with that part. and masturbating to the idea of yourself. It's all the feelings we get for a potential new suitor, but for ourselves. Gia Vital, if I'm saying that correctly, is autosexual and autoromantic. She is also engaged to get married to herself after proposing in March 2017.
Oh my gosh.
So that's kind of self-love off the rails there. How does divorce work?
I divorced myself. Oh my goodness. Out of control.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have anything else on that. I mean, we can let it speak for itself, or if you, I don't know if you.
I mean, I could go on reading, but I don't think it's necessary.
I wanted to pull some quotes off the internet. I don't have a lot of them. There were so many of them. They're self-love quotes. This one here: self-love is not selfish. You cannot truly love another until you know how to love yourself. We kind of touched that one already. There was a simple one here. You'll be happier. And then there was this really bombastic one No other love, no matter how genuine it is, can fulfill one's heart better than unconditional self-love. Scary.
Yeah.
Unconditional self-love. Okay. Don't really know what that is, but it's, I don't know. That's kind of an absolute word for such a, again, such a selfish topic. Here's the thing, though. All those quotes don't have a source.
Right.
Who said them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, just an internet person posted it on the internet. So they threw some junk on the internet. Okay. It's like, well, where's the weight? Where's the validity? You know, what's proving to us that this is true? There's no source. It sounds nice.
Well, right.
To a group of people.
And I mean, and again, human beings are, we're fallen creatures. Is there an absolute standard for love and what love means? Or do we all get to just each individually define our standard of love by our truth?
Well, that's going to cause conflict.
I mean, how many stories do you hear of, you know, domestic abuse or, in the worst cases, murders where somebody loved them, but really it was obsession. And if I can't have you, nobody can. You know, people claiming to love a person, but treating them horribly.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't love.
Obviously.
Right.
Obviously. Right.
So what is the standard? Is God the standard for love? I mean, the Bible says God is love. If God is not the standard, then what? This is all just meaningless, and
right.
There's no point to it at all. We're going to go into some verses here.
Mm-hmm.
These are verses I feel like people typically, when they try to use the Bible to justify this self-love, and I mean, I don't know if we have enough disclaimers yet. We're not saying we want you to self-loathe.
Right.
Well, that's, you know, equally as wrong. But to be, you know, as Christians, I mean, Jesus sacrificed himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's sort of the opposite of, you know, loving yourself. So I have some scriptures here. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. So again there, even though he's saying as yourself, or talking about you know, the husband, his own body, he takes care of his body, he needs to take care of his wife, he nourishes and cherishes his body, and then it goes on to just as Christ does the church. Notice the glory and the focus is always on Christ. It's always on God. It's not, there's no command to worry about yourself or
mm-hmm.
Have this obsessive care for yourself. Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance or bear grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I mean, this is all throughout the Bible. Every single time,
mm-hmm.
it's commanding you to treat other people well.
Right. Focus away from yourself,
right.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just gave an Old Testament scripture. Here's a New Testament one that's saying the same message. And it's John 13, verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That speaks directly to the first clip that we listened to,
right.
Where she's talking about, oh, people are going to notice. They're going to know. Well, says who? Says you? And
right.
Who are you? Because this scripture, these are in the red letters here, those verses I just read. Jesus literally spoke those, and it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about... It's about Jesus loving us, and it's about us loving other people.
Right.
Don't you think that obedience to the Creator, in literally Jesus, don't you think that can bring fulfillment? And
Yeah, it's about caring about God so much. And again, we do this imperfectly, all of us. getting closer and closer to God, caring more and more about God and less about yourself. You know, take up your cross and deny yourself. So I have another verse here. This is in Matthew, and this is sort of going off of how Christ, he made the ultimate sacrifice. The one innocent, perfect being who didn't deserve to take any punishment, he took our punishment for us. All right, so I have these verses here from Matthew. Matthew 15, 12 through 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay his life down for his friends. And later in Matthew 26, Jesus tells them, do you think I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? So that was when Peter took the sword and cut off his ear, and Jesus told him to put the sword away. He was telling them, I could call down legions of angels right now. He had every opportunity. He could have easily removed himself from the situation. But as he said in Matthew 15, I mean, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Again, a complete disregard for yourself.
Yes, in fact, sacrificial.
Yeah.
Like,
loving others so much, you're willing to give your life.
Right, right. There's even more scripture, and we're going to unpack.
It's almost like it's throughout more. All the Bible.
It's almost like it's a theme.
Yeah.
It's almost like people don't get it.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's hard to hear that, to pray for God to help you love yourself even more. I mean, we don't have our problem loving ourselves.
Yeah.
We do that just fine.
Why don't you cover the Matthew 22:39 that you referenced earlier, if you've got that.
Sure. A lot of Matthew verses.
Matthew's, great place to start in the gospel if you want to get the message of really the crux of Christianity.
All right, in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, or the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Right. And a lot of people, both secular and, I don't know, maybe church preaching, are using that as a support for self-love, this modern movement, which you have some insight here to on how that's not actually supporting the case.
Well, obviously, once again, putting God first, love God with all your mind, heart, and strength. And people will be like, oh, well, the second greatest commandment of all is to love your neighbor as yourself. So it's like taking that and the next thing after God is yourself. No. Each time he commands us to love our neighbor as ourself, again, the focus is on our neighbor. It's all focusing on God and our neighbor, and our neighbor is everyone.
Right.
The focus is constantly put forth towards God, giving him glory, worshiping God, giving him thanks, and then treating our neighbors well.
Right. Right. And I've got the Moody Bible Commentary, which is... it's a little bit thicker than the Bible because it has commentary on every verse in the Bible. And the coverage that they give on this Matthew 22:39 about love your neighbor as yourself, I thought there was some great, well, they call it a commentary for a reason. So it's a great commentary, okay? it's you shall love your neighbor means taking delight in meeting the needs of others. Sometimes the phrase as yourself is used to prove the need for cultivating a positive self-image before being able to love others. But Moses and Jesus assume self-love is the basis for the comparison of loving one's neighbor. When one is cold, he puts on a sweater. When he is hungry, he eats. As one happily meets his own needs, example included, loves himself, he should similarly meet the needs of his neighbor. And I thought that that was like a great explanation for Matthew 22:39. So don't be confused. This is the part I just wrote as a commentary of the scripture, Matthew 22:39. I wasn't reading scripture. I want to make that clear. But this is from Moody Bible Institute, which is an extremely credible source for Bible believing Christians.
Right.
And again, they explain that the comparison between loving the neighbor and loving yourself, it's not a command to a command, but it's a standard that's already being followed. It's
right.
Like, because of the way that it is, love your neighbor.
Right. Yeah, you don't need to think twice about feeding yourself or taking care of yourself in normal day-to-day life. It comes naturally, obviously. And again, even though we fail at this, you know, that's what the standard needs to be. That's what we need to strive for, is like caring about other people
mm-hmm.
as we care about ourselves, you know,
right.
Wanting to help feed them, give them water, you know, whatever means. Within a marriage, all the commandments
sure.
to love our wives as we love ourselves, we need to care about our wife that much. Yeah, it's not saying love your wives and love yourselves, you know, like you were saying,
right.
because of the fact that naturally you love yourself, love your wife. So I have a couple more clips here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're going to sound a little bit different from the ones we heard earlier. This first one is going to be by John MacArthur of Grace Church in California. I love John MacArthur. I have his study Bible. I credit his ministry to me becoming a true believer. So definitely one of my heroes of the faith. But
that's one of my dad's favorite theologians as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love him. So this is on YouTube. It's titled Self-Esteem is a Demonic Idea.
Secondly, we have to understand the dominance of selfishness, the dominance of selfishness. The fascination with living for pleasure and the dominance of selfishness. Has there ever been a society as self-centered as this? Has there ever been a society this egotistical, this consumed with its own agenda? Pride and self is elevated and exalted, has been for years and years and years. Psychologists have created this thing called self-esteem. That is a satanic idea. You're not as important as you think you are. You're far less important than you think you are, and so am I. So are all of us. You're not better than you think you are. You're worse than you think you are. You are far worse than you think you are, and so am I. In God's eyes, you are inconceivably sinful. In your own eyes, you're something wonderful. Has there ever been such an egotistical culture?
Whoa.
I gotta be honest here. I liked hearing people say, amen.
Right.
In the congregation there versus the people that were nodding their head and saying amen and the other
and the
clips.
Other ones. Absolutely.
I mean, MacArthur is showing us how this is not about us. It's very clear. We're sinners. We're separated from God by sin. But again, now we've got the story of Jesus Christ coming to redeem us. To forgive us of our sins, because we need it, because we're wretched. Like, we're wretched. And that's not like, that's not, you know, saying, oh, you know, poor me.
Right.
Look how horrible I am. No, I am so horrible and I am so poor in character, you name it, apart from Christ.
Right. How do we know? I mean, do we need to be saved? And if we do need to be saved, what do we need to be saved from? From sin.
Mm-hmm.
Christ wasn't sent here to teach us to love ourselves. He was sent here to save us from ourselves.
Right.
The danger, and I'm not even saying 100% of everybody in a congregation where someone's talking like the first two videos. I'm not saying 100% of the people in there are false believers or anything like that, but that's dangerous because, I mean, there's just endless videos, any sermon. I mean, I looked at other videos too from those churches and other ones. The motivational speaking and lifting people up, elevating people mm-hmm. to think, it is elevating you to think that you are so amazing and this such amazing person that God loves you because of who you are and what you do. God sees us as sinners. And if you teach all of these people, they're so amazing and you need to just think the world of yourself and love yourself, what are you getting saved from?
Right. What's the threat?
Why do you
What's
need to be saved? Here? You're amazing. You don't need to be saved.
Right. And it kind of ties back to like works. It ties back to works. You are doing things that you think are improving your witness for the Creator
mm-hmm.
by like improving yourself. Now, not to be confused with disciplines.
Right.
Like reading content that's biblical.
Yeah.
That actually has wisdom in it and is sourced by Scripture. Read Scripture itself.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying those things are, like, those actions are going to save you. I'm saying that discipline is different than self-love. You're using discipline to get closer to God. Yeah. You're feeding your spirit. That's what I'm trying to say.
I mean, we read through the verses that people often try to use to support the idea of having this love for yourself. But I'm going to read a verse from 2 Timothy.
That's the best one.
Yeah.
Yep, I know where you're going with this.
So this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 4.
You know what? Can you read the whole chapter 3? Do you have that?
I could.
If I could pull this. The whole chapter, I think,
would be beneficial. Read it, Steve? Since I've like read a bunch of stuff already.
Oh, verses? That's fine. Sure. Like this was my favorite part of the whole study and trying to figure out if self-love is biblical or not. Is when you finally get to 2 Timothy chapter 3, it only has. Well, I'm gonna read a pretty decent portion of it, but only because, man, the content in here is so good. And to me, if you read this part, it should blow the self-love crap right out of the water.
Yeah.
And this, I don't know. To me, it seals the deal. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. I could keep going through here, but already it's nailing down conceit, it's nailing down people who are not lovers of good. I mean, the other things, but I've read
lovers
at the top.
Lovers of self.
Lovers of self. And this is a sign of the end times. Okay. I mean, I know that Scripture says that we won't know, you know, the time of the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a sign of the end times.
It's not put in a good light.
Absolutely yeah. not. And it's labeled next to, treachery. It's mm-hmm. like, so is this good or is it bad? No, it's treacherous.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not good. It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that if you're a believer that's putting the hashtag self-love on your tweets and the crap you put on the internet, I would seriously reconsider. Dig into this stuff yourself, too. See what it says. Now, the scary thing was that in my research for this, there were a ton of websites trying to pull scripture that supported self-love. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see some, you're going to see some of that on, if you, you know, if you start digging into it. But it's like, read the Bible itself too. Read the scripture. See what it's telling you. And decide for yourself, like, is this saying that self-love is good? Well, if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, that should be your answer. It's cut and dry. It's right. Black and white.
And really look into how self-love is defined. I mean, it's almost when we're defining, like, when we're trying to explain the good kind of self-love, if you can say that, obviously the natural way that we take care of ourselves, God did create us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because we love God and give him glory, we should work hard. We should be becoming smarter. We should live our physical bodies. We should be healthy in that aspect. So taking care of yourself, striving to become better, working on a skill, constantly moving forward, improving, all of these things are good. So the self-love we're talking about that is treacherous, that is being defined in Timothy, is the self-conceited, vain, putting yourself before everybody else. Everything's about you, whether that's affecting you how you see it, negatively or positively, obsessing over yourself, whether you're obsessing over how good looking you are, mm-hmm. or if you're on the opposite side and you're obsessing over your self-loathing. Look towards God. Don't look toward yourself. It's okay to improve yourself. God's not condemning hard work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not about you. Mm-hmm. So even when I feel bad or I'm down and I'm being hard on myself, why am I being hard on myself? First of all, should I feel guilty or should I feel shame? That is good at certain times if you truly are doing something wrong or sinful. If you feel guilt for it, that's a good thing. Yeah, self-love as far as improving, becoming a better person, which it seems to me I can't even define that as self-love, you know? It sounds weird right. to even say self-love with that. And then self-love is being totally enamored with yourself.
Right, and not to be confused with works, these disciplines you're describing don't affect your salvation.
Right.
These are tools to build a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. And to help people.
Right. And I was going to suggest, it's like if you feel like the solution to your problems is self-love or more self-love, what happens when that fails too? Because you're thinking that you're going to be the solution to the problem somehow, and then it fails, then what? We already know that humans fail and are imperfect. Don't even try that route, the right. self-love thing. Why don't you try donating some of your time? If you don't go to a church, okay, donate some of your time in the community. You can donate your time at the church. I mean, there's so many things you can do that are for other people. And, like, see if that brings any kind of fulfillment. I mean, when you take the focus away from yourself, then God has an opportunity to, like, just transform some really cool stuff.
Right.
I mean, his whole message was about loving other people and taking care of other people. And I don't want this, like, this whole message to seem grim, but it is urgent. I do have something encouraging. Again, this is from 2 Timothy chapter 3. This one goes towards the end of the chapter, though, here. Verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Man, that is such a good note to like take home with you when you're feeling bad about, I don't know, being on board with the self-love stuff. And it's like, yeah, okay, the scripture says that it's a wicked thing, but use the scripture, use it for correction.
Right.
You know, this is good. This is good stuff.
So the fourth and final clip I have.
Yeah, yeah.
is another well-known pastor, John Piper.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this was my absolute favorite one of all the clips. So here, we're going to play John Piper for you.
I'm not on a mission to help you feel good about yourselves. I am on a mission to help you feel so good about the greatness of God that you forget about yourselves. And live a life of love, making others glad in God. I'm going to say that again, because in our 21st century mold and time, on the back end of the crest of the wave of self-esteem, it needs to still be said, I am not here to make you feel good about yourself. That's a low salvation. That's a low-level American gospel message. I am here to make you so happy in God, to help you feel so good about the glory and majesty and beauty and justice and love and truth and power of God, that in that you forget about yourself.
Yeah.
Do you feel like loving yourself more after listening to that?
No. No, it's a good message.
Yeah,
it's a really good message.
Saying, I want you to care about God so much that you forget about yourself. That's what I love about it. And then talking about describing the self-love message is like a low-level American gospel, because America obviously is unique in recorded history for being one of the richest, wealthiest, most prosperous country as it is now. And we almost live in a fantasy world.
Sure.
You know, Christians are being persecuted and tormented and so many other countries around the world. Even, China, they're bulldozing churches now, and pastors are going missing. I can't imagine. They are believers in the midst of persecution. I can't imagine they're preaching messages about loving yourself.
Right. Yeah. There's no way.
Right.
Not a chance. I don't really have any other, content that we haven't covered. I hope that we showed both sides of the spectrum in terms of the world's answer for loving yourself, I guess, is as a fix versus what the scripture says and what life is actually about based on the commands of Jesus and, his words from scripture. I hope it challenges you though too, because I know this will be offensive to some people, but I'm glad that it is, because the gospel is offensive and it's used for rebuking and correcting.
So in short, it's not about you. It's about God.
Right.
And we need to give God glory, and we need to love our neighbor. So love God, love other people, and then maybe you'll get to yourself eventually.
Love God, love other people. That's it. No, I'm not saying hate yourself, right. Okay?
Did we mention that? Don't hate yourself.